الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue with the explanation of the on the beneficial sayings from the book of Tawheed, and this is the second part concerning chapter 14. And the title for chapter 14 is من الشرك أن يستغيث بغير الله أو يدعو غيره.
And from shirk is to استغاثة, to seek rescue and deliverance from severe difficulty and destruction from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Or invoke other than Allah, and that this is part of shirk. The verse that we stopped at, we have reached, which the author rahimahullah took as evidence from the evidences he cited, is from Surah An-Naml 27, verse 62. The saying of Allah, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّءُ. Is not he better than your gods who responds to the distressed one when he calls him, and who removes the evil and makes you inheritors of the earth, generations after generations? Is there any ilah god with Allah? Little is that you remember. In this verse, the distressed one, is not he who responds to the distressed one, meaning the one afflicted with distress. And we remember in this case the story of Ayyub alayhi salam, Prophet Ayyub, as Allah referred to him in Surah Al-Anbiya 21 verse 84, وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. So we answered, let's have 83 before, so we follow the context. And remember Ayyub when he cried to his Lord, verily distress has seized me, and you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy. So we answered his call. We answered his call, and we removed the distress that was on him, and we restored his family to him, etc. To the rest of the verse. So no one answers the call of the distressed except Allah. But Allah restricted this by saying, إِذَا دَعَى, if he invokes him. In the verse, you see, is not he better than your gods who responds to the distressed one when he calls him? Now, what about if he doesn't call him? If he doesn't call him, then it may be that Allah may remove the distress, and it may be that he may not remove it. Then in the verse, and he removes the evil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ, and he makes you inheritors of the earth. And who are they? The inheritors of the earth, they are the righteous slaves of Allah. As he subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:105, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. And indeed we have written in the Zabur, all the revealed books, that my righteous slaves shall inherit the land. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred in Surah An-Nur 24:55 to this, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Allah has promised those among you who believe, and do righteous good deeds, that He will certainly grant them succession to the present rulers on earth, in the earth, as He granted it to those before them, and that He will grant them the authority to practice their religion, that which He has chosen for them, meaning Islam, and He will surely give them in exchange a safe security after their fear, provided they, the believers, worship Me, don't associate anything in worship with Me. But whoever disbelieved after this, they are the rebellious and disobedient. Then came in the verse we were discussing, 2762, at the end of it, أَإِلَهُ مَعَ اللَّهِ, is there any ilah, God with Allah? This is an exclamation of the denial, negation. No one other than Allah can do this. And therefore the answer is certainly no, there is no one. And as such, therefore, what will be the conclusion? If it is so, and this is certainly the case, then the worship must be directed to Allah alone. And similarly, the dua, the invocation. So therefore, the person must direct his question, his request, to Allah Ta'ala, and should not ask from anyone to remove the evil and the distress while he is unable to deliver. A problem and its answer. The person under certain state of distress may ask other than Allah, and it may be that he is answered, like the one who may be in need of food, for example. And he asks from another person who possesses this food to give it to him, and so he gives him. Is this permissible or not? The answer, this is permissible. But we must believe that this is only a cause. Something independent. Rather, this is a cause. That is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a cause for everything. And we say also, it is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may direct the heart of this person who's asked for the food and does not give the food. And it is possible that you may eat the food and it does not suffice you. And so your need may not be removed. And it is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make him at your service and gives you the food. So therefore, this is just a mere cause. It is not something independent. Is that clear? No, the one being asked, the one who possessed the food. Then the author, rahimahullah, narrated or presented the narration from At-Tabarani. And that a man at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a hypocrite person who used to harm the believers. So some of the believers said, let us go and seek refuge in the Messenger of Allah from this hypocrite. So the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّهُ لَا يُسْتَغَاثُ بِي وَإِنَّمَا يُسْتَغَاثُ بِاللَّهِ. Let's come to ask, seek aid from the Messenger of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, aid must not be sought from me, and aid must be sought from Allah. This hadith, Al-Haythami in his book Majma' al-Zawaid said, the men of the narration of the chain of this report are the men of Sahih, except for Ibn Luhay'a, and that Ibn Luhay'a has good reporting, And that Ibn Luhayya, however, at the end of his time, his narrations became mixed because his books were burned. So, in the report here, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, in the beginning, the kafir used to announce his kufr and without caring, without fear. But when the Muslims became stronger, after the Battle of Badr, the kafirs became frightened. So they started to claim Islam in the outward, and hide their disbelief. In this report, it says there was a hypocrite. And the hypocrite is the one who openly claims Islam on the outward while concealing kufr inwardly. As I said earlier, those appeared after the battle of Badr. And the hadith did not mention the name of this hypocrite, but it's possible that he is Abdullah bin Ubay. Abdullah bin Ubay, because he was known for inflicting harm on the Muslims. And it's also possible that he is someone else. And one should know that inflicting the harm, or the harm inflicted by the hypocrites on the Muslims, was not necessarily by beating or killing. That is because they appeared to be Muslim lovers. However, it was in sayings and insinuations and hinting, as in the story of the Ifk, casting doubt about the honor of Aisha radiallahu anha. So, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a hypocrite who used to harm the believers, and some of them said, meaning some of the companions, let us seek the help to remove this hardship, meaning the hardship of this hypocrite, either by defaming him or whatever should be done in order to remove his harm. So they went to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, inna nastaghithu bika min hadha al-munafiq. O Messenger of Allah, we seek you for help against this munafiq, this hypocrite. And so he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, aid must not be sought from me. What is apparent from this general statement from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, aid must not be sought from me, that this is absolute negation. But it's possible that, it is possible also that this means that in this particular case, aid must not be sought from me. If we consider the first interpretation, that this is a absolute negation, then it would be from the kind of removing any kind of excuses. And also it may be, and as well, a manner in the statement, a good manner in the statement. It must not be sought from me. This is etiquette in the wording. It may not be that this is a general ruling. Why we say this? Because negating seeking the help from the Prophet ﷺ is not something applicable in all situations. Rather, it is permissible in that which he is able to do. On the other hand, if we say by the other interpretation that the negation refers to a specific situation, then the meaning would mean aid should not be sought from me regarding this particular matter. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ used to deal with the hypocrites in the manner that he deals with the Muslims. The same treatment like Muslims. And in accordance with this apparent judgment on them that the Prophet ﷺ adopted, then it's not possible for him to have a manifested apparent revenge from this hypocrite. That is because the hypocrites conceal. And therefore, he directed them to say, فَلَا يُسْتَغَاثْ, then aid must only be sought from Allah with respect to the hypocrite who conceals. This is if we take by the second meaning. This brings the explanation to the texts that the author referred to in this chapter to an end. Then comes the cases or the discussion concerning some points. First point, seeking aid is meant to remove hardship and distress. And dua is more general. This is one of the things that are different, or different the differences between dua and seeking aid. Seeking aid, istighatha, is seeking to remove the hardship. And in dua, the person may seek this and seek other than that. So therefore, seeking aid is one kind of dua. And dua is more general. Is this clear? Dua is more general than seeking the aid. The second point we learned from this discussion is regarding the saying of Allah, وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ, in Surah Yunus 10:106. وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And invoke not besides Allah any that will neither profit you nor hurt you, but if in case you did so, you shall certainly be one of the zalimeen, the wrongdoers, unjust, etc., polytheists. The address in this verse is to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in particular. This is evident from the verses that came before. The verse 105, for example, وَأَنْ أَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And it is, and direct your face entirely towards the religion حَنِيفًا, meaning pure tawheed, and never be one of the mushriks. So therefore the address that came next, it was 106, and invoke not besides Allah any that will neither profit you nor hurt you. Then the address is to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if someone says, how could it be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids him to do something which is impossible to occur from him, I mean legally? The answer, the purpose is a denunciation of the one who does this. It is as if, don't take this approach taken by the people of misguidance. Although the messenger, it is impossible from him to have this done. So therefore the purpose here is the denunciation of those who may do that. Knowing well that legally the Prophet ﷺ, it is impossible for him to do that. And that this, from this verse we learn that this is the major shirk. If you do this, you shall certainly be one of the zalimeen. This is taken from this verse and also from the verse in Surah Luqman 31:13. إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فإن فعلت, if you do, فإنك من الظالمين. You are from the ظالمين. If we take that and we relate it to the saying of Allah in Surah Luqman, إن الشرك, verily the shirk is لظلم, ظلم عظيم. Great ظلم. So therefore here, this means you shall certainly be one of the ظالمين, meaning one of the people who commit the major shirk. The next or fourth point, that the most righteous of people, if they do this, in order to please others, then they will be from the zalimeen. This is taken from the fact that the address is to whom? To the Messenger of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he is the most righteous of mankind. If he would do that to please others, then he will be from the zalimeen. And even if he will do it like coaxing to a mushrik, if he will do it coaxing to another person who is a mushrik, like for example, he invokes the occupant of this grave to satisfy that mushrik, coaxing. You see, then he goes and invokes this grave in order to please, to satisfy the desires and inclinations of the mushrik. Then in this case, he, what? He is a mushrik if he does this. That is because it is not permissible to satisfy the expectations or the desires of someone by compromising the deen of Allah. The fifth point, we learn that if Allah touches you with a distress, then there is no one who can remove that except Him. So we learn from this, and if only Allah is the one who can remove the harm, then the pure worship must be directed to Him, and seeking help must be directed to Him only. In addition, in the next point, the fact that this is fruitless, to invoke other than Allah to seek their help and so forth, and that it is not fruitless in this life, in addition to it being as kufr. So therefore he does not benefit from his dua, and therefore loses this life, and loses the next one by his kufr. And from the points that the author rahimahullah was raised, is the matter of seeking sustenance. When he referred to the verse in Surah Al-Ankabut 29:17, فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ. You worship besides Allah only idols and you only invent falsehood. Verily those whom you worship besides Allah have no power to give you provision. So seek your provision from Allah alone. And therefore seeking the provision, the provision should be sought from Allah, just like the Jannah, paradise, is to be sought from Allah alone. This is taken and derived from the saying, وَعْبُدُوهُ, and worship Him alone, وَاشْكُرُوا لَهُ, and be thankful to Him, إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, to Him you shall return. That is because the worship is a cause for admittance to paradise. And this is indicated by the saying, إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, and to Him you will be brought back. You see that? You see that, the connection? So seek your provision from Allah, and worship Him alone, and be grateful to Him, to Him you will be brought back. That is because worship is a cause to admittance to paradise. Also, in regarding Surah, verse 5 in Surah Al-Ahqaf, which came with us, وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ يَدْعُو مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And who is more astray than one who calls, invokes besides Allah? So we learn from this that there is no one more astray than one who calls besides Allah. That is because the exclamation here is an exclamation of negation. That there is no more one astray, more astray than the one who calls besides Allah. And secondly, it says here, such as will not answer him till the day of resurrection, and who are even unaware of their calls to them. Meaning those invoked, unaware of the invocation of those who call them. And we explain this in details in the beginning of this chapter. The next point, such a call, such invocation, which will not be answered, which will not be answered till the day of resurrection, and who are even unaware, those being called, are unaware of their invocations to them. This is a reason for enmity. The one being called, those invoked, having enmity towards their callers. This is taken from the saying of Allah, وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسُ كَانُوا لَهُمْ أَعْدَاءً وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. The next part, please, of the verse. And when mankind are gathered, they, those being called and worshipped and invoked, will become enemies for them and will deny their worshipping. You see now, there is, look at the end of the verse now, and they will deny their worshipping. And what did they worship? They called upon them. So therefore, this call is what? This invocation is worship of them. You see that at the end? Will deny their worshipping. And at the beginning Allah said, and who is more astray than one who calls besides Allah? So Allah called this kind of calling a worship. This kind of invocation a worship. And that the one being called will denounce this. And will free himself from it on the day of resurrection. This is taken from the saying, وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. And they will deny their worshipping. Now, what's the reason that those who do this, Allah described them as the worst in being astray amongst mankind? This is because of the following. Number one, that they invoke Allah such as will not answer Him. Invoke other than Allah, such as will not answer him till the day of resurrection. They call those who cannot answer them. That's one reason. The second, that those being called are unaware of the invocations to them. And thirdly, when mankind will be gathered, they will be their enemies. And fourthly, they will deny their worshipping. Four reasons mentioned in these two verses, 46:5 and 46:6. The last point, or the one before the last, the amazing thing is the attestation of the idol worshippers that no one answers the call of the distressed except Allah. And this is existing now. You see, those who prostrate to idols, idols which they made themselves and magnified, if they fall in distress, they will call Allah sincerely. While what? They should what? They should have gone to whom? They should have gone to whom? Question. To their idols. Right? Because they made them and they magnify them and they believe in them. But at the time of distress, they abandon them and they seek Allah. This occurred with the pagan Arabs, right? This occurred with the pagan Arabs, right? Now, what about now? Allah mentioned that this occurred with the pagan Arabs, right? At the times of distress, they would invoke Allah sincerely. Yes? No. In our times, we have some, however, from the mushriks of our times, who are worse in their shirk than the mushriks of the past. You understand? In our times, there are some mushriks in our times who are worse than the mushriks of the past, of the pagan Arabs. That is because when they fall into distress, they would go to whom? They would resort to whom? In our times. Yes, to the objects of worship which they had set. Like to Ali, like to Hussein. But however, if the matter is easy, they would resort to whom? If the matter is easy, they would resort to whom? To Allah. Amazing. They would resort to Allah. Now, if they will swear to prove truthfulness, they will swear by Ali or by anyone of their so-called awliya. But if they would swear on something while they know that they are lying, they would swear by whom? By Allah. And they care not. The last point is the preservation of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam of Tawheed and his etiquette with Allah. And this is the choice of, which we discussed earlier, in the wording of the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith concerning the hypocrite, when the companions came to him, لَا يُسْتَغَاثُ بِي, I should not be sought for help. This is an etiquette with Allah, as we discussed in one aspect of it, and to direct that there should be no attachment to other than Allah, and that the person's attachment must be only be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the ummah to resort to Allah alone at times of distress and not to seek him, and that not to seek help except in him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This brings the end of this a great subject on the matter of dua and seeking aid and help. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts on tawheed and make us from those who magnify this matter inwardly and outwardly. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.